I would like to discuss particular links between quantum repeated interaction and quantum channel, and especially a random quantum repeated interaction and random quantum channel. I would like to present a set of random states which is linked with the notion of asymptotic induced measure. As I have announced, I am going to speak about repeated quantum interaction, quantum channel. I am going to speak about random invariant states. And if I have enough time, I will present a model of random environment and identical independent distributed interaction. So let me first speak about the quantum repeated interaction model. So this comes from the theory of open quantum system, which focuses on the evolution of a small system in contact with an environment. And we are only interested in the evolution of the small system. So the model of quantum repeated interaction that I am going to present has been used by Stefan Attal and Jan Potra to make useful approximation of quantum Langevin equation. In this context, the action of the environment is modelized by quantum noises. And I have also used the quantum repeated interaction model to develop a discrete model of quantum measurement and approximation of stochastic master equation. These are stochastic differential equations which appear in quantum optics. So the idea of quantum repeated interaction is the following. Instead of considering a complicated environment, we consider this one to be composed as an infinite chain of quantum system. Each system is identical and independent, and interacts with each zero during a time tau and after disappears. In other words, the first copy interacts with each zero during a time tau, and after disappears. So the second copy comes to interact, and so on and so forth. So mathematically, how do we model this interaction? So if I take just each zero in contact with each one, the first copy, I take an initial state in each zero and a reference state in each one. So the evolution is described by a total Hamiltonian, which is each zero tensor I plus E tensor H, where each zero is the free evolution of each zero and H the free evolution of each subsystem, plus an Hamiltonian of interaction. So this gives rise to the unitary operator of evolution, U, and tau is the time of evolution. So in the Schrodinger pictures, the evolution of state is given by u rho tensor beta u star. And as I am only interested on what happens on each zero, I take the partial trace over h. So I have a new state, rho 1, which is the partial trace over h of mu. So the first copy disappears. The second copy appears to and comes to interact. So now the state of each zero is rho 1. We have the identical copy which interacts in the same fashion. So we have a new state rho 2 and so on. And we we can define a sequence of state, which is the iteration of the map file. So the link with quantum channel is straightforward, thanks to the Stein-Krieger dilation. So if I consider a quantum channel which acts on the d times matrices, so it means that each zero here is c to the power d, and the auxiliary subsystem is c over d prime. And so I have the partial trace over the CD prime, and I have a Schrödinger-like evolution. So I mentioned also the Krauss decomposition that I am going to use later to fix the notation. So, and now what are the main points? So Stefan et al. And Jan Potra introduce a time renormalization of the total Hamiltonian, and from the sequence rho k, if the time of interaction is equal to 1 divided by n, they consider rho to the integral part of nt, and they show that it converges to a rho tilde t, which is the solution of usual Lindblad equation in open quantum system. But here, we are more interested in the large time behavior of rho k, that is the time the tau is fixed, and we want to study the limit when k goes to infinity. And especially, I will concentrate on two cases. The first is I fix the state of the environment, and I choose a random unitary operator. And so, as I have announced, if I have enough time, I will speak about a case where u and beta are random at each step. So I want to study the iteration of a quantum channel. And typically, the problem is to define the invariant state of this quantum channel. And to this end, we need to study the properties of the spectrum of this quantum channel. So I recall basic facts about spectral properties of channel. So first, we know that at least there is one invariant state. The truss norm is 1. And the spectral radius, so the supremum of the eigenvalues of the quantum channel, is equal to 1. And we have also another properties, which is going to be used later. It's the Schwarz inequality, that is phi over x star times phi over x is less than the norm of phi I times phi over phi of x star x. This Schwarz inequality can be proved by using the two positivity of the quantum channel. So let me now introduce a particular class of quantum channel, which I call C. This is the class where we know the asymptotic behavior of the iteration. So I consider the channel where 1 is a simple eigenvalue, and this is the only eigenvalue on the unique disk. And we know that if a channel belongs to this class, for all initial conditions on each 0, we have a convergence of the iteration to a state, to the unique invariant state. So the problem now when I consider a channel is to decide whether it belongs to this class or not. So for example, if I consider the unitary conjugation, it's easy to compute the spectrum of this channel. And we see that each pure state, which is generated by eigenvectors of U, is an invariant state. So this channel doesn't belong to the class C. Another channel is the depolarizing channel. So it is easy to see that one is a simple eigenvalue, and all the other eigenvalues are 0. So this channel belongs to the class C. So now, the model that I want to deal with, it's I use the time-quick dilation. I fix the state of the Hungarian beta, and I choose a random unitary operator along the R distribution. So I have a random variable from the the d times d prime unitary operator into the set of Chanel. And so the question is, what are the properties of this generic Chanel? What are the properties of the spectrum? So, and the main theorem is the following, that for almost all unitary operators distributed along the R measure, the resulting channel belongs to the class C. And if for all initial conditions, we have convergence of the iteration of the channel. So now I would like to present the idea of the proof. And a key property for this quantum channel is the notion of irreducibility, which is sometimes linked to the strictly positivity. So the strictly positivity means that if I take a positive operator, the mapping with phi is strictly positive. So every rank one projector is mapped in a full rank operator. And the irreducibility is linked with the notion where we do not have a trivial invariant subspace, so which is expressed in terms of non-trivial projector. And I mention also the link with irreducibility and strictly positivity. A map is irreducible if and only if the d minus one iteration of identity plus phi is strictly positive. So, but why irreducibility is important? It's because if we have an irreducible map which is unital, that is phi of I is equal to identity, and satisfies the Schwarz inequality that I have mentioned in the spectral properties of the channel, and such map is just the dual of the channel. I know we know that the set of peripheral eigenvalue is a subgroup of the unit disk, and the important property is that every eigenvalue is simple. So if I have a quantum channel which is irreducible, I know that all the eigenvalue of the unit disk is simple. So I answer to a part of the main problem to show that one is a simple eigenvalue. And the next step will be to answer to the question that it is the only eigenvalue on the unit disk. So how do we proceed to show the irreducibility? So we use a necessary and sufficient condition. If we write the quantum channel with the Krauss decomposition, the channel is irreducible if and only if the intersection of the lattice is trivial. The lattice of an operator is the set of invariant subspace of this operator. So to show the irreducibility and the fact that all the Krauss operator doesn't share a common invariant subspace, I use the Chemisch criterion. So we know that, for example, if two matrices commute, that they share a common eigenvector, but here we have a necessary and sufficient condition. They share a common eigenvector if the intersection of the kernel of the Lie bracket of AI and BJ is different than zero. And we have a more general criterion which answers to the question of common invariant subspace. If we consider the case-weighted power of matrices, I don't want to enter into the detail because I won't use the definition of the of this notion. We know that A and B share a common eigenspace if and only if this this relation is true. That is, the intersection of the kernel is different than zero. So how can we link this property with the Krauss operator? So we know that if we write, if we consider the unitary as D prime times D prime matrix with the coefficients which are operator on the small system, that is Uij are D prime matrices, we know that the Krauss operator appear as a block, grayscale block of the of these matrices. And so this criterion can be read in terms of null determinant, which is the following. The determinant of this sum, if this, the determinant of this sum is equal to zero, we know that the operators A and B share a common common invariant space. But what is really important is that this is a polynomial equation in the coefficient of the unitary operator. So we have linked the property that two Krauss operators share a common invariant subspace if and only if a certain polynomial is null, is equal to zero. And we have the following important proposition that we are going to use two times. So if we have a polynomial, a polynomial which is, and if we consider the set of roots of this polynomial, it is either the whole unitary operator or it has R mu zero equal to zero. And now, if I take my channel with a unitary operator which is distributed along the R mu zero, and if I want to know that two Krauss operators share a common invariant space, this polynomial must have to be equal to zero. But it is easy to write a new unitary. So let's say that A are here and B are here. And I want to know that if A and B share a common invariant space, the polynomial is null. So if it is true, it's true for all the unitary operator. But it's easy to construct another unitary operator where A tilde and B tilde doesn't share a common invariant space. So this polynomial can't be zero, and that means that for almost all unitary operators, the channel is irreducible. Okay, and so now I have answered the question to the simplicity of the eigenvalue. And so now if I consider the following polynomial is equal to zero for lambda different than zero, we see that for u equal to identity, this is not true. So that means that for almost all unitary operators distributed along the R measure, only eigenvalue on the unit disks is one and is simple. So it means that the channel belongs to the class C, and we have the convergence of the iteration. So now let me describe more precisely what is the distribution of rho infinity. So with the previous result, almost surely we have described an application from the unitary operator into the set of states. And it is if I have U which is distributed by the R measure, and if I have the set beta is sum of bi pi, where bi are the eigenvalue of the state of the environment, we see that u and and u times e tensor v have the same distribution for all v which belongs to the unitary operator on V prime. So we see that this map we can the measure image just depends on the eigenvalue of the environment. And so I call this measure the asymptotic induced measure. I mentioned two other properties that for almost for all unitary matrix, rho infinity and V rho infinity V star have the same distribution. And thanks to the property B, we see that the distribution depends only on the eigenvalue of rho infinity. Why do we call this measure asymptotic induced measure? So we have seen in the previous talks that the induced measure is constructed with a uniform state on the state of pure state. And if we fix a state, pure state psi zero, and if we consider a unitary operator U, which is R distributed, rho one has the same distribution, so the same induced measure. And so if we take psi zero, which is equal to a tensor product E zero, S zero, such that E zero and E zero are the first vector of orthonormal basis, we can write this partial trace in terms of the channel, and we show that by iteration of this map, the induced measure is mapped on the asymptotic measure, which is equal to this one. New induced measure. Mapped by the iteration of on this asymptotic measure. So let me show you some numerical simulation. So the first row concerns the induced measure. So for the here the size of the environment is 2, and here is 3, and here is 5. And so in comparison with the asymptotic induced measure, first, I can make the following remark. If we choose beta is equal to identity d prime divided by d prime, we show that the rho infinity must be equal to identity over d. So because it's easy to see that this is the invariant state if we choose beta is the chaotic state. And so we see that if B is close to, is more close to identity D prime divided by D prime, the distribution of eigenvalue concentrates in the middle. So this is the same for a size bigger. So here we have B is close to identity to D prime, and it shows that the the eigenvalue concentrates on the middle. So in the rest of time, some open problem. We have, sorry.
Asymptotically,
yes.
If the size of the environment goes to infinity, I think we converge to identity divided by D.
But this shape somehow is not specially distinguished. I mean,
this one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, this distribution.
This one is for a bit more size. So, what do you mean, please?
Okay, if you can derive this distribution analytically. If this, is it,
No, we don't have the distribution analytically. Okay. We don't have the expression of the distribution of the eigenvalue. So, and yes, some open question. We have seen for the induced measures that if the dimension of the environment is related to the dimension of the system and which converge to a constant C, we recover the Martian Kropaszczur distribution. And so an open question is, can we obtain a similar result for this kind of measure? And so also a problem of the power of the disentanglement of repeated interaction. So I will try to explain. An extension of the result that I have shown is, imagine that you have a coupled system with an initial state rho. I write rho r is equal to the trace over b, and now I make the repeated interaction, but only each system acts only with HB, okay, with the R measures. That is, we have an iteration like this, where U is R distributed. On HB conserved H. So we can show that rho, so we define phi, the channel this with init state beta. We can show that phi over rho k converges to rho r tensor rho infinity. So this is true, but so far we don't know at which rate, at which how to measure the rate of this disentanglement. Rho infinity is if yes, for phi u, if I consider only, it's if we take the partial trace on A. Right. So let me just mention some results to finish. If we choose other models, that is, I consider still the repeated interaction, but this time I choose, I fix U, U is fixed, and beta 1, beta 2, beta k are random variables which are identical and independent distributed. And so I am interested also in the asymptotic behavior of the iteration of such map. And the result is now in ergodic form. So we use this abstract result. That is, if we have random matrices which are independent and identically distributed, and if they share a common eigenvector, and if the probability that one is a simple eigenvalue is strictly positive, then we have the convergence of this ergodic sum to a rank one spectral projector. So to adapt this result in our context, we want that so we see that if we have a sequence of channel U beta k, which are identical and independent distributed. So if they share a common, if the probability is that they have only one unique invariant set, but it is related to the class C, so we have the convergence in the ergodic form. So this is the result. Another result is when at each step beta I and u I is random. So we do not care about the distribution of beta n. They can be completely joint distribution. We just ask for un which are R distributed. So we have a lemma that the sequence rho n and vn, rho n, vn star have the same distribution as soon as vn is an independent sequence of R unitary matrix, which are independent with beta n and with un. So this helps to show the finite result that in the ergodic form, the rho 1 plus rho n divided by n converge to the chaotic state. I thank you for your attention.
Questions, comments? Yes.
I have an obvious question. Have you perhaps thought about pseudo-random quantum channels? So what would happen if the interaction would be made almost random, in the sense that a design or something like that?
No. We don't have to be such kind of model. I don't know what could be the reason.
Maybe because you don't have full access to a random type?
Yes.
I also had a curiosity. You have mentioned in the beginning that this repeated interaction model was used for quantum large event equation. Which physics context?
It's when you use a. Yeah. When you describe the evolution of a small system,
yeah.
In contact with a Fock space, and where the evolution is described by a quantum stochastic differential equation.
Yeah. I meant what physical systems
a small system which in contact with a boson reservoir, for example.
Okay.
Do you have any information about the spectral, the spectral gap?
Maybe you got an idea of the spectral gap.
We didn't succeed in putting any bounds on that.
So we have some heuristic bounds.
It's not the mathematical theory, but just the
educated guess, which tells us somehow how the spectral gap depends on the size of the environment and the system.
Okay.
On average, of course.
This is just a comment in the power of disentanglement portion of your talk. You probably already noticed that's very much in the same spirit as what I was speaking about at the beginning. Like, how hard is it to actually freeze a product state?
Yes.
Quantum information techniques should at least be able to give you lower bounds on the rate of convergence, that the number of steps should be at least mutual information over the log of the dimension of each
system. Yes, but if we start with a disentangled state, and if we use the mutual entropy, we see that the mutual entropy of this one is equal to zero, and so if we make the quantum repeated interaction, we have the first result. But the question is, if first is entangled, is it quicker to use the mutual information, or just the norm of rho k minus rho alpha times rho infinity? If we,
The mutual information, the bound will be mutual information over the log of the dimension, but that's it's probably only tight for some very special kinds of states, I would think. But anyways, it's
questions, go. Then a round of applause for all the speakers of the day.